G'day, I'm Irk, and welcome to episode number 6 of Irk to the Diary Room. Irk to the Diary Room is a show which is not only based on reality TV, but it's also based on TV, entertainment, movies, music, and a lot more. Coming from the mobile diary room, on my way home after a gig, it seems only appropriate that one of the topics I talk to you tonight is about music. And a bit later on in the episode, we'll be talking about sport. So music and sport, if that interests you, tune in. You can find out more about the show and previous episodes and give feedback at irktothedoryroom.com. I'm recording this again on my new application, Boss Jock. It's actually just after the same night that I recorded episode number 5. So from what I hear from episode 5, playing it off the phone, it seems to have worked well. So we will see what happens during this episode. If you're hearing it now, my experiment worked, but if not, well, I'll say it all again using what I used to use. Anywho, I have just come from a gig at a place called the Valve Bar at Tempe here in inner southern Sydney. I've been to the Valve many times. It's one of my favourite live music venues here. When I'm talking about music, I'm talking about stuff that's independent and unsigned. Stuff that I can play on my music podcast, Irk FM, which is also a part of Channel Irk that you can find at irkfm.com. So we're not talking about people such as Guns N' Roses or Slash. Slash, incidentally, was in town tonight. But we're talking independent and unsigned acts. If you're a listener of Irk FM, you'll know exactly the sort of bands that I'm talking about. Top quality bands. They haven't either been recognised commercially or they don't want that commercial recognition. You know, record companies and the whole box and dice. You know, they're playing pub gigs, club gigs. They're not necessarily, you know, selling out stadiums or whatever because they don't get that chance. But the music that you hear, and I'll give you an example about it when I finish talking about music, is absolutely unbelievable. A lot of these people... Oh, there's the police. That would have been handy last episode. Not that they've got any lights and sirens or on or anything, but I do have the police sitting next to me. Anywho, as I pass them going under the speed limit, when it comes down to music, I love all sorts of music. I've been focused on a lot because of Irk FM Metal Monday. I've been focused on metal and hard rock. That's probably my favourite type of music. You know, I do love a wide variety of music. And of course, in case you don't know, I do at least 3 music podcasts a week. One that's based on metal and hard rock, one that's based on music from outside Australia, one that's based on music from inside Australia of all genres. I'm also a member of the Association of Music Podcasting. I'm their current Australian representative, and I'm also the current representative from the Insomnia Radio group of podcasts as well. So, and I've been podcasting since May 2007 when it comes to talking, and when it comes to music since January 2009. During that time, I didn't really start going to gigs and the like until about October 2010. So I'm actually coming up to, as I have to change lanes rather quickly, otherwise I'm going in the wrong direction. And mission completed, achievement unlocked, as I'm heading through Newtown. I might get a bit distracted. If people know me, they'll know the reasons why. But when it comes to music, I've been heavily involved in the Sydney music scene since October 2010. So I'm coming up to my 2-year anniversary, going to gigs, promoting music that I see, promoting music that I don't see, the people sent to me, people that I find, people get referred to me and all that sort of stuff. So I try and spread the word. When it comes to music on TV, however, and I mainly, in the early episodes, seem to be focusing on what I'm watching on TV. There's a whole suite of music shows on my cable TV provider, Foxtel. There's a whole section. If you go to the front menu of the electronic program guide, you'll see a section for the free-to-air TV providers. Channel 2, Channel 7, 9, 10, and SBS. And then you'll see a section that's called entertainment, which is your soapies and all of that sort of thing. You'll have one for movies. You'll have another one for sport, and I'll talk about sport towards the end of this episode. Then you have one for documentaries, and I've spoken about a few of the documentaries that you can find already in previous episodes. Then you come up to the music section. And it's very interesting, especially considering that I'm a music podcaster, and I might actually have to change my opinion on this. As I wait for a taxi just to pick up some people occupying my whole lane. Then again, it is Newtown and it is outside the Sando Hotel. Good to see people actually in the Sando. Considering that it could be going belly up, it's good to see people actually in there. Considering that there's a whole section called music, I don't actually watch a lot of the music that is on there, because the majority of the music, and I haven't been proven wrong yet, although I will go through the electronic program guide closely and see what's actually in there. A lot of the stuff on the music channels is dedicated to the stuff that's in the charts, that's commercially popular, all the quote-unquote well-known bands, your commercial bands. You know, bands like your Guns N' Roses and Bon Jovi and, you know, all the ones that are on the charts that you hear on commercial radio and that sort of stuff. You know, things like Nickelback. Now, I used to like Nickelback when they first started being a commercial success. But then again, I came to the opinion that if you've heard one Nickelback song, you've heard them all, because they've got a similar structure. And now that I'm not listening to music in that segment, because I have so much music that I'm listening to, not only from my own podcast, but from other people's as well, I don't need to be worried about who's in the top 40. You know, what's a Nicki Minaj or whatever her name is? You know, what's a Lady Gaga? A Lady Gaga doesn't mean anything to me. As a excellent example of what I'm talking about. But the vast majority of what I can find on the music channels on the pay TV, on the Foxtel, they're all about, and understandably so really, the, you know, the Lady Gagas of the world and all of that sort of stuff. Now, I'm of an age where I can actually remember, not that I got to say it a lot, being a child and being in Australia and all that sort of stuff, I can remember what happened when MTV first came out in the 80s. You know, that's showing my age somewhat, but I can remember what happened. And all of a sudden, you know, with the technology the way it was back then, if you got onto MTV, that was a great way to actually show people what you're capable of. It just wasn't a case of listening to the radio and hearing the bands. You had the third dimension. You had the visual element as well. And video clips have come so far since, you know, the mid-80s when MTV came out. But over time, MTV, the M standing for music, became less about the music, and it became more about these documentaries and everything. You know, things like your Jersey Shores and your Kardashians and all of those sort of things, which have absolute, you know, 16 and Pregnant, I think, is on there at the moment. What does 16 and Pregnant have to do with being a music show? The M stands for music. If it's not music, get rid of it. But of course, they haven't. Which, but the funny thing is, here in Australia and New Zealand, at least on our pay TV services, they've actually introduced another channel called MTV Classic, which is what MTV was to start with, all about the music. And then you get other channels such as Max, and Max is pretty middle of the road. You sometimes might see Max on at a hotel, and they have all these sort of countdowns. Like, they'll have, you know, the top 50 or top 100 guitarists of the 1990s as a classic example. And so they might show a Guns N' Roses clip from the 1990s illustrating their guitarist, or Aerosmith, or, you know, whoever. I actually, for the first time in absolutely ages, because I really like the 1990s period of music, I actually recorded one of these countdowns to see what sort of music they were playing, because depending on the countdown, it could be like the top 100 rock of a certain year or a certain decade or whatever the case might be, because they have to basically run video clips 24/7. So unless they've got a documentary on or whatever, they basically fill it with different countdowns and clip shows and all of that sort of stuff. So the one from the 1990s was actually very interesting to see and to listen to. You know, I hadn't heard some of the songs for quite some time, and some of them I actually hadn't seen the film clips for, which was interesting in itself. But the funny thing was, there were a couple of songs there that were from 1989... Now, hello, 1989 isn't the 90s, dudes. And then even further, and I remember watching it at the time and expressing my disgust on Twitter and saying, hey, dudes, 1978, when the song Grease was, you know, Grease Lightning, you know, that song from 1978, 1978... isn't the 1990s, dudes. Just saying. Sure, they might have re-released the song for the 100th millionth time in the 90s, but it is not a song of the 90s. That would be like having a Nirvana song from the 1990s and putting it in a countdown of songs of 2012 just because it happened to be released in 2012. Not a song of 2012, it's a song of 1994. You know, yes, Kurt Cobain did have a gun in the end. And so if that song was done in 1994 and it was done exactly the same way in 2012, because Kurt Cobain's no longer with us, you know, just because the record company's re-released it or put it on a new CD or whatever doesn't necessarily mean that it's an actual song from 2012. You do get some good channels, again, depending on your taste in music. If you're into the country and or Western, there's actually a good channel called CMC, Country Music Channel. And unlike any of the other channels that I've seen, and admittedly, as I said, I'll have to do some more research on it, CMC will actually play artists that haven't been signed to major labels. You know, people that I can play on my podcast, that have played on my podcast, they can get themselves on CMC. And it can just be a case of submit the clip, and then they have like viewers polls and, you know, vote for me and all of this sort of stuff, and they will actually play, you know, people like Craig Morrison, as a classic example, Cole Finley and the like, Jason Lee, another one that I can think of off the top of my head, Fiona Fields, you know, occasionally they'll come on and say, you know, request my track on CMC, and CMC, to their credit, will actually do it. You know, it obviously takes a lot of money to do these clips. Heaven the Axe, who you'll hear a little bit later as I finish talking about music, they've been working on a video clip for their song Enemy, which is the song that you'll hear. They've been working on that track, on that video for that track, for over a year. Like most independent bands, Heaven the Axe haven't got a lot of coin. You know, a lot of the people in the scene that I'm in have to have day jobs to, and then they produce, you know, they produce good videos and all that sort of stuff. Tensions arise, for instance, got a few mates together and, you know, they filmed around the Parramatta area of their song Welcome to Sin City, whacked it up on YouTube and got a lot of views and a lot of exposure from it. So a lot of bands at the independent sort of level, they necessarily can't or don't want to, more a case of can't spend the money to get on things like MTV Classics or whatever the case may be. So they'll do video clips, they'll put it on their website, they'll put it on YouTube and all of that sort of stuff, and you know, they'll spend a lot of time and effort to promote it. And it'll be interesting, actually, once I have a look through the electronic program guide for the music for a typical week, and I'll actually see, as I said, I know CMC does some, but I'll see if I can actually find independent stuff on there. It'll be very interesting to see. The channels that I'm familiar with mainly show, as I said, commercial releases and you know, those people got record companies and, you know, unlimited money in comparison to the independents. When it comes to the free-to-air people, there's the occasional show, probably the most well-known current show. And mind you, I haven't seen this show in years. I haven't watched it in years. It's a ABC One TV production called Rage. And it's the sort of time where, okay, at the moment it's approaching 20 to 1 in the morning on a Saturday night going into Sunday morning. So let's say Rage might start at midnight, for instance. So you're at home. I know this is the way it used to work with me. You're at home, you've just come back from a Saturday night out, or you're having a Saturday night in. You want to crank some tunes. And overnight, they might have, you know, can you imagine? Guest programmer of Rage, Irk. Seriously? That'd be funny. They'd say, oh, what commercial tracks do you want to play, Irk? And I'd be like, oh, I don't know any of them. Put Heaven the Axe on. Put Family Road on. You know, and put Tetris on. And they'll be like, who are all these people? Never heard of all these people, I'm guessing. That's just me surmising. But they do have guest programmers, and they'll record camera pieces, and they'll say, oh, this is Heaven the Axe, and they're from Melbourne, and they're so awesome. You know, Phoebe, look at her, she's absolutely awesome and she's an epic singer. And that might be an example of what they record as you, then they show the clip. However, when it gets towards the end of the program, the last 2 or 3 hours of it, because keep in mind this goes all night, then they might do the top 50. I think it's the top 50 they used to do. Might have been the top 100. But at least the top 50, 40 or 50 from memory. There's a lot of hornage going on. Especially cars doing illegal turns and taxis and God knows what else. So Rage is probably the most popular one at the moment. over the years, they have had shows that, you know, you can go on as a contestant, or you can, you know, have shows where they book you, things like Countdown. An English version of that might be Pop Top of the Pops, that sort of stuff, where you go in and perform on live TV. Where we have noticed a massive change over the last few years on TV when it comes to singing and entertainment is things like the various versions of the Idol series, Australian Idol, American Idol. I think they had a UK Idol as well. And so, and then they'd have things like the X Factor and all of that sort of stuff. The Voice is one that's just finished here in Australia that I think might still be going on in the US. And basically the whole premise of those, you know, Australia's Got Talent, all of those sort of ones, the premise is a whole heap of people audition to try and get onto TV, and then they're judged by various people, and then in the end, there's a winner. So each station has got at least one version, if not more, whether it be here in Australia, Australian Idol, The Voice Australia, Australia's Got Talent. Australia's Got Talent tends to be more, not only singing, but things like stage plays, juggling, you know, acts of physical endurance, comedy, whatever. Whereas things like Australian Idol, The Voice, The X Factor are more about singing. And don't get me wrong, people who try out for things like X Factor, Australian Idol, The Voice, whatever, they've got a lot of competition to get into those particular sort of shows. And it's a massive achievement if you happen to win the thing. Or in Australian TV, it's been common, especially with Australian Idol, for the actual runner-up, the person who came second, to do better commercially than the person who actually won the thing and came first. You know, they usually offer them some sort of record deal, and depending on, you know, what show it is, they'll put out a single on the charts and it'll become number one. Because you've got, you know, over a million people watching these shows and, you know, voting and going to iTunes and downloading all of them or whatever. And if that happens to be what these people want to be getting into, more power to them. You know, it's a tough industry to break into, the music industry. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of coin to get anywhere. And just because you've got talent, as you'll hear, and just because you've got professionalism, determination, doesn't necessarily mean that you'll make it commercially, even though your work could be better than half the people on the commercial scene. But they tend to have different styles of singing depending on what sort of what they're looking for. I think at the moment X Factor Australia is trying to go for the whole boy band thing, whereas things like Australian Idol and that sort of stuff seem to be more about the solo artist. We've not necessarily, you know, their own band. Like, for instance, and I'll keep on using the example of Heaven the Axe because I've just come from their show. Heaven the Axe is Phoebe on vocals and the rest of the guys behind her on their particular instrument of choice. Whereas on things like Australian Idol, to use Phoebe as an example again, on Australian Idol, it would be Phoebe and just her voice with whoever, backing tracks or whatever the case may be. And so it's not very often that things like Australian Idol, The X Factor or whatever is actually about the band. You know, it's not necessarily about Kevin the Axe as the band, it's about Phoebe as the front woman, you know, does she have the commercial appeal? Does she have the voice? Does she have the songwriting? All that sort of stuff. And often it's not necessarily a case about the songwriting. It's about, okay, let's get her singing Britney Spears' song Toxic. And I mention that because the last song that Heaven the Axe did tonight was actually that song, Toxic by Britney Spears. And anyone who can make Toxic by Britney Spears anywhere approaching cool in this current climate is an absolute genius. I know Phoebe can do it, Erica from Domino can do it, and Monica from Vanity Riots can do it. Get those three together doing Toxic. I would love to see that. That would be absolutely awesome. My people should talk to their people, which would mean me putting the idea into their head. But yeah, that's a classic example of the difference. So if you are trying to make it as a band, and you're trying to use TV talent shows to do it, not impossible, but very difficult to do. And if you're anything that's not quote-unquote mainstream, for instance, if you're a metal band, or even, to use Heaven the Axe as an example again, if you are a hard rock band, you can forget about it, especially the harder you go towards the metal scene. Because a lot of the things, and it's a cliche when it comes to reality shows that people vote on, for instance, Big Brother, Australian Idol, all of those sort of ones, Australia's Got Talent, blah, 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 even Dancing with the Stars to a lesser degree. You know, these things are voted on by teenage girls. And so, teenage girls aren't going to vote for Heaven the Axe. They're going to vote for some boy band wannabe, someone who looks like Justin Bieber. And that, unfortunately, is a fact of life. And that's why a lot of the bands that I know would not even think of going on shows such as this. So it's interesting when it comes to music. When it comes down to it, there's a lot of music on TV when you count dramas and theme songs and background music and all of that sort of stuff. There is a wide selection of these talent shows and all of that sort of stuff, and I wonder if we're sort of going to get talent show fatigue because they've got shows such as, you know, they might have, classic example, they had The Voice Australia running on Channel 9 at the same time that they had Australia's Got Talent on Channel 7. Now they've got The X Factor on Channel 7. So if you're doing exactly the same sort of thing, but you're looking for a different sort of band, in the end, it's just going to be a case of, oh, okay, when we look at the top charts for the year, it's going to be who's better out of The X Factor plus Australian Idol plus, you know, Australia's Got Talent plus The Voice. And are those people going to be the best musicians that this country can produce, or have they been the ones that, admittedly, they've got off their ass and done it, that can get up there and present themselves on TV the best, and they've got themselves in this format that TV wants, you know, boy bands, or, you know, acoustic or whatever. So it's all very interesting. If you want to listen to my podcast, I know there are some people already who do listen to it. What I try to do, I try to present a range of independent artists each and every week. Sometimes I do interviews when I go out and interview independent artists. What I will do, I will actually have a look through the electronic program guides to see what I can find on the independent scene. I'm guessing it won't be much. Where the independents seem to get a better go is on radio and also internet radio podcasts and all of that sort of stuff. They tend to get more of a run on there compared to TV. partially because it's cheaper, you don't necessarily need to go to the expense of making a video to get yourself on radio or internet radio or my podcast. You know, you just have to have great sounding music and promote the hell out of it. And it's frustrating when you see these people manufactured. Some of them need extensive coaching during these shows, where there's so much talent out there. And if you're listening to this anywhere in the world, you've probably got some sort of independent music scene that, unless you go and search for it, it's there, but you don't know that it's there. So to give you a classic example, I'm going to play a song by Heaven the Axe. I actually downloaded this track on iTunes while they were playing, so I can play the song for you. It's called Enemy. It's absolutely awesome. Heaven the Axe are based out of Melbourne. They have, you know, a few albums out now. Their latest album out at the moment is called Sex, Chugs and Rock and Roll. And that pretty much sums up the band in its entirety. If you want to hear more about the band, I actually interviewed Phoebe on Erk FM Extra, episode number 5, ErkFMExtra.com. I'll put a link in the show notes to that, the podcast, and also to Heaven the Axe on the show notes at ErkToTheDiaryRoom.com, episode number 6. So here is Heaven the Axe with Enemy, and then after that, I'm going to come back and talk sport on TV. This is Back to the Diary Room, his enemy.
I'm
welcome back to... I was going to say welcome back to Work FM, because I have been talking about music. That was Heaven the Axe with their song called Enemy, and a classic example of what I was talking about. If I hadn't have necessarily told you that they were independent, would you have even known? Great stuff, really enjoy seeing them. It's actually, tonight's actually the third time that I've seen them this year, which isn't too bad considering that they're an interstate band. Anywho, let's talk about some sport while we're sort of dividing the episode into two and talking about what I'm watching on TV and what's actually out there when it comes to Australian TV and that sort of thing. Here in Australia, especially if you do have subscription TV, maybe I should get Foxtel to sponsor this, I don't know. They could at least give me the TV for free, considering I'm always talking about it. There's so much TV on sport, so much sport on TV even, that it's absolutely amazing. Depending on what time of the year it is, obviously it depends on what sport is shown. We have, in the winter time, for instance, here in Australia, we have what they call rugby league, which is one type of football. They have rugby union, which is another type of football. They have AFL, the Australian Football League, Aussie rules, which is another type of football. And then there's soccer, which some people will say that there's only one type of football, and that's soccer, to give it its proper name, you know, football, according to them. Although here in Australia, having said that, the major soccer competition here in Australia, the A-League, is actually played over summer to avoid competition with things like the Rugby League and the AFL. Whereas for, you know, the majority of people who play soccer, it's a winter sport. But at the elite level in Australia, it is a summer sport, which is very interesting. Then, of course, you've got your various forms of motor racing. I am a bit of a rev head when it comes to motorsport. The V8 supercars here in Australia. We also get, depending on your channel, we also get NASCAR, Formula One, also the various European Touring Car Championships, IndyCar in the States, we get that as well. And depending on what channel you're actually watching it on and when you're watching it, you could be watching, for instance, here in Australia, you could be watching live NASCAR, for instance, or when it comes to football and ball sports and all that sort of stuff. You can be watching the NFL from the comfort of your lounge room live here in Australia. You could be watching the English Premier League when it comes to soccer. You could be watching that or any of the European leagues. And then, of course, we've just sat through 2 weeks of the Olympics that was extensively covered here as well. So, ultimately, we've got the best of everything when it comes down to it. We have our own sports that we like to follow at either a state level or a national level on TV. And then you've got your top of your internationals as well. And then, of course, you've got things like horse racing and tennis and golf and all that sort of stuff. Commonwealth Games, we are a part of the Commonwealth, so you've got Commonwealth Games, the Olympics, the Paralympics, the Winter Olympics. You've got a lot of sport going on. So depending on what channel you're watching and what time of the year, what time of the day it is, you can have wall-to-wall sport. To quote Foxtel, to use the example of Foxtel again, there's a whole sports section. And this perfectly illustrates how well we've got it here, especially if you've got pay TV. There's three separate Fox Sports channels, which they use to show things like rugby league, soccer, cricket in the summertime, even things like Major League Baseball we can watch live, depending on the network. There's so many different sports out there that they show on Fox Sports 1, 2 and 3. And then I mentioned Aussie Rules earlier. They've got their own dedicated channel called the Footy Channel. And so you can watch numerous games live every weekend, plus games replayed, historical games, talk shows, all of that sort of stuff. Somehow they've got enough content to fill every day with AFL. And then you've got ESPN, which is an American channel. So things that you'll find on ESPN over in America, you could probably find them on ESPN here too. Sometimes you actually get the best of both worlds without having to switch channels. A classic example of that might be the NFL, or what we here in Australia call Gridiron. It might be on two separate channels, depending on where you are in America and what games are being covered by which network. But here we might see both of them on ESPN. This is how strange it is here in Australia. You can even watch college football from the States live, which for Australian sport is absolutely unheard of. Basically any sporting or any TV channel here in Australia caring about anything at the college or schoolboy level. But yet here in Australia we can watch college football from the US live on ESPN. You got your various horse racing channels, Sky Racing and TVN. You've also got the Eurosport channel, which shows a variety of sports from Europe. And then you've got the Speed channel, which shows you a variety of motorsports from around the world, various series from all over the world. And then you've got more adrenaline type shows, your more extreme sports, on a TV channel called Fuel. And on Fuel, they even show the Lingerie Football League. And I'll tell you, for anyone who hasn't seen the Lingerie Football League, apart from the fact that, there's fit-looking women playing football, wearing hardly anything, those girls, they play hard. They're not like their counterparts in the NFL, where every part of their skin is covered by some sort of padding or protection or whatever. You know, they'll wear a helmet and shoulder pads, and that's basically about it. They go quite hard, and the amount of skill and coordination that they've got is absolutely amazing. So, to sum up, sport on TV here in Australia, we have so much of it. We are really spoiled. Compared to what I saw when I was in America, for instance, if it's not American, or to a lesser degree Canadian, you don't necessarily hear anything or much about it. You know, like, as a classic example, when it comes to like Major League Baseball and the World Series, only in America can you have something that's called the World Series, but only America and Canada compete in it. I don't think there's even any Mexican teams. So you can have, World Series. Yeah, who's in the World Series? Oh, only teams in America and Canada. And that pretty sums up to a degree what some Americans think of the world. You know, there's nothing beyond America or Canada. But the thing is, as I said, here in Australia we are so spoiled. special if you've got the pay TV. And most of the time, all it is that you are getting some feed from an American TV station. So if the Americans go to a TV break, a commercial break, you are as well. Now, of course, you'll get your local ads. Like Speed TV with NASCAR is a classic example. They'll show ads for their upcoming shows or whatever they're featuring on Speed TV. But yeah, when the Americans go to a break, that's when we go for a break. And I've got to say, when it comes down to sports and things like that, overall, we do things pretty well when it comes down to most sport on TV. We have overall skilled commentators, cameramen, directors, and all of the sort of back of house people to get these things working. But when it comes to the grand scale of sport and all that sort of stuff, it's very hard to beat the Americans. In things like baseball and football and car racing and all that sort of stuff. And the British and the Europeans when it comes to things like soccer. Even things like horse racing, we're spoiled because the people who want you to bet on horse racing, they want you to be able to bet on as much as possible. So what they'll do, early in the morning, though, because of time zone differences and everything, they'll show horse racing from New Zealand, so they'll show it on the channels and in the pubs and everything. So they'll want you to bet on everything in New Zealand, and then as the day gets older, you have your various races from your East Coast Australia, then you go into Central Australia, then Western Australia, maybe Japan as well, but then as the sun moves to the west, you start to get into places such as Singapore and Hong Kong, and then you can even see horse races from South Africa and also England. The UK, you can also see horse races from there. They basically want to fill you up with as much horse racing or whatever it happens to be, harness racing, greyhounds, whatever. They want to fill you with so much, so you're continually betting on whatever it is. As long as it's got four legs, they want you to bet on it. And they don't care that you're betting on a horse race in Singapore or South Africa or the UK from Australia. They just want you to bet on it, basically. So, it's very, very interesting when it comes to how much sport has actually spread around the world. And there's a lot of people who are watching sport live from all around the world. And in some cases, you're getting a better coverage, especially when it comes down to things like football, which may be delayed in the city that it's played in. For instance, I'll give the example of New York. There might be a Major League Baseball game or an NFL game, which, because you're living in New York and they want you to go to the ground to watch it live, they'll delay the telecast to New York, whereas for the rest of the country, they'll show it live. And in Australia, because, you know, of our TV networks and everything like that, you could be watching a game live from New York that people in New York can't actually see live unless they go to the internet or go to the game. Which is very, very, very interesting when it comes down to it, when you think that I'm possibly getting a better coverage than someone in America. It's quite cool how we have really become a global country. And even, as I was saying, college football, you can see it live, which is really, really, really strange. And when you'll have people out there who will, on the weekend, they will go from sport to sport, channel to channel. And some cases, it's an instance of flicking between the channels when there's an ad break, and using things like Twitter to not only give their opinion but find out about the scores. Some sports and some TV networks have really embraced social media. Some have, some haven't. But when it comes down to it, the majority of the sport that I watch on TV, I watch on Foxtel, it's mainly things like the V8 Supercar Championship here in Australia. I'm not really into the Formula One. I could make a bit more effort when it comes to the World Rally Championship and the Australian Rally Championship and all of that sort of stuff. Now that I've got a DVR, it's possible, of course. And when it comes to football season, I don't mind watching the occasional game of NFL. I don't mind watching the occasional game or part thereof of Major League Baseball, as an example. If the soccer's sort of on, I might watch it if it's at a pub or whatever. But yeah, that's pretty much me when it comes to sports. I was a lot more heavily into sports, especially the Australian stuff, like the National Rugby League here in Australia. I was really heavily into it until a couple of years ago, when I went to America in 2009 and spent about 3 months of the season overseas. I lost interest. I don't know who's who anymore. I barely know what home grounds are, you know, what they're called, because they change the names according to whoever sponsors the team. But overall, to sum up, we are so heavily spoilt in Australia, and it would be interesting, especially for the English amongst us, for the Canadians listening, and also for the Americans listening, how much, if anything, of Australian sport or sport that's outside North America can you actually see, even if you're not watching it, even if it means going to your TV guide or whatever. You know, how much non-North American sport can you see outside North America? As a classic example. If you would like to leave feedback, you can leave feedback on the show notes at irktothedoryroom.com, episode 6. Send me an email, irkpod@gmail.com, or connect with me on the social networks. Twitter, I'm at irkpod, and there's a link to that on the show notes, and also Facebook. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode, a bit of a mixture of both sport and music, and I'll see you next time. From the Mobile Diary Room, I'm Mac. Good night, Interweb.